Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 39. The message I'm going to preach this evening, I hope to bring a little bit more clarity as we preach and we teach about building our own personal biblical standards. And we've spent several weeks on it. We've got a long ways to go. But what I want to do tonight is I want to compare a couple things. Rules and principles. Rules and principles. I want to compare them. In fact, the title tonight is Rules versus Principles. Which one? Which one's better? Which one should we live by? Now, there's a place for both, but I want you to listen tonight and hopefully be able to help you understand. In teaching about standards, our goal is not to lay out a long list of rules and say, here's the rules you have to live by to be a Christian. My goal is to give you a set of principles. Not even to give you a set of principles, to guide you into finding your own set of principles so that you can live the way that God wants you to live, so you can live in a way pleasing to God without having to go to a rule book somewhere. The New Heights Baptist Church rule book, right? We don't have a rule book. We have guidelines. We have expectations for teachers and leaders, but there's not a rule book. And while there are laws in the Bible and there are rules in the Bible, more important than those rules, I hope you can see this tonight as we preach this message tonight, are the principles. So Genesis chapter 39, look at verse number 1. We're going to read through verse number 12. Genesis 39, 1 through 12, it's about Joseph. I often get Joseph and Joshua confused when I'm preaching and when I'm speaking in front of people. If I say Joshua, just go ahead and keep on nodding, and we're talking about Joseph, all right? And it's just going to be my mistake. We'll just keep on going. But sometimes I get them confused, and I'm just warning you ahead of time because I almost just said it. Genesis 39, look at verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had. Potiphar didn't even know what he had. Joseph was in charge of it, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not, or doesn't know what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house therein. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. I want you to see a man, Joseph, who wasn't just ruled by rules, but he was guided by principles. Now, usually when we talk about standards, we're thinking rules. We want someone to define what we can and can't do. Or when we talk about standards, we want to be the one defining what someone else can and can't do. That's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. Now, our kids, if you're an adult here, you have kids. Our kids probably think that we stay up at night thinking up new rules to limit the amount of fun that they can have. I know they think that that's what we're doing, and now we stay up late at night and we're thinking, what can we do to limit their fun? And we'll stay up thinking until we come up with it and we'll say, yes, that's the one that will ruin their day. Finally, I can go to sleep and rest well. I know our kids probably think that because we give them rules. But what I want to give you tonight is I want to help you understand that principles are greater than rules. In fact, rules are there to serve the principle that's based on the Scripture. And I hope to be able to illustrate that tonight. So Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 12, the Bible says that Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He knew not aught that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, well-favored. So here's what happens. Joseph is 17 years old, and he's put in charge over Pharaoh's house. He's only 17. He's a foreigner. He's a slave. But even at 17 years old, he's put over an entire estate, if you would. He is in charge. Potiphar doesn't even know what he has because he's got a good manager. Joseph is such a good manager. He is in charge. The only thing Potiphar knows that he has is the food that he eats every day. He shows up. The food's there. He trusts Joseph. Joseph's put in charge of everything. He could have taken Potiphar's money. He could have taken Potiphar's belongings. He could have taken Potiphar's wife. But he didn't do that. Genesis 39, verse 9, the Bible says, there's none greater in this house than I. See, I almost did it again. Joseph, he says this to Potiphar's wife. There's nobody greater in this house than I am. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. And look what he says. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now, we don't know what rules Joseph had on him as a slave in Egypt. I assume there were some. He has a master. I assume there were some. We don't know what the rules were that were over him. But when he was tempted to sin, he didn't refuse because of the rules. He didn't say, I can't do that. You know the rules. The rules say I can't do that. He said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So Joseph's put over this entire house. He's given an opportunity to sin. He's got any opportunity he wants to steal or to take what's his master. He doesn't do that. He's falsely accused and sent to prison for doing right. And while he's in prison, verse number 22, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. So he went from Potiphar's house being in charge of everything so that Potiphar didn't even know all that he had except for the food that was put in front of him. And now he's in prison. He's falsely accused. And he did right, but he's in prison. And now once again, he's placed in a trusted management position. He's a keeper of the prison, basically. He's like the prison assistant. All the prisoners are under him. Whatsoever they did there, he's in charge of it. He's the doer of it. Look at chapter 41, verse 39 now. Genesis 41, look at verse 39. After several years in prison, I wrote out the date. Joseph was sold, not the date, but his age. He was sold as a slave when he was 17 years old. He became the ruler of all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh, by the time he was 30 years old. That much time has passed now. Joseph is now 30 years old, chapter 41, verse 39. He's out of prison. He interprets this dream for Pharaoh and ends up rescuing the nation of Egypt, chapter 41, verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Look at now what happens. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And it's happening again. From prison, Joseph is elevated to be the second in command of the most powerful ruler in the world. What's happening? Here's a man who is guided by principles, and he's finding an amazing amount of responsibility given to him because he is a man guided by principles. These internal principles that guide Joseph bring freedom and bring liberty and bring responsibility. Instead of having external rules put upon him, He is guided by internal principles, and these internal principles in turn bring liberty. I saw a newspaper cartoon a long time ago. For you teenagers, newspaper cartoons are what old people would have called memes in their day. All right? Basically the same thing, except memes usually some type of a photograph. Newspaper cartoon was usually some type of a really bad drawing with a caption on it. I saw a newspaper cartoon one time, and there was a solution to teens taking too long of showers. Don't raise your hand, but anybody else have issues, problems with that one? Right? You get in the shower and the hot water's all gone. What happened? Well, I took a 30-minute shower. What are you thinking? So, solution to that. All right? Instead of installing the knobs to the shower on the inside of the shower, this cartoon showed them installed on the outside of the bathroom door. So when the teenager can't control how long of a shower they take, us on the outside can control it for them, right? We wouldn't be so mean to turn all the water off. We just turn the hot water off. And that would help us to end the shower real quickly. Now, if you don't want to go through all that trouble, you can just go and turn the hot water off at the hot water heater. Here's the principle. When you can't control how long of a shower you take, someone else will have to control it for you. Of course, you can go to the water heater. All right, now listen. A Christian who needs rules placed upon him externally is not living by principles internally. The shower is just a perfect example. If I can't control how long of a shower I take, I might need somebody either banging on the bathroom door saying, "Hurry up, we're going to run out of water," or somebody else turning the water off. I've got to be able to control myself, and the way I do that is through internal principles. If I can't control myself, somebody else is going to have to put external rules upon me. Rules versus principles. Our goal in raising children is to train them to control themselves instead of being controlled by somebody else. Now, yes, we have to have rules. And especially during the younger years, we have to have rules to give us structure in order to teach the principles. But there's going to be a time in every young person's life, hopefully, where they get to the point where they don't have to have somebody forcing rules upon them, because now there's something inside them telling them what is right and what is wrong to do. We don't want them to have to be controlled by a parent, by a school principal, or by a policeman. Wouldn't it be so much better if our children could grow up to do what's right without somebody having to always tell them, here's the rule, here's the rule, here's the rule, to be able to be guided by principles instead of rules from the outside? If the brakes are on the inside, then they aren't needed on the outside. Wisdom, I'm going to give you a lot of statements here. Just I want you thinking. Wisdom is understanding what is best among many acceptable choices. Okay, so we want to teach our children wisdom. There's a lot of choices in this life. We want to give them wisdom. Character is the inner strength to do what's right. Wisdom is choosing what is right. Character, the strength to do what is right. And if I could, spirituality is the heart to do it to please Jesus Christ. We need wisdom, we need character, and spirituality. Now, when I say spirituality, I don't mean like Zen, or, you know, feel spiritual or connected to the cosmos or something like that. Spirituality, a desire to please God. Wisdom, character, spirituality. I want to help us to be able to make the right decision. There's lots of choices. I want to be able to make the right decision. Then I want to have the character to do what's right. And then I need to have a desire. This desire to please God. I need to know what's right. I need to be able to do what's right. And I need to love the Lord enough to do it for Him. And that's where principles come in, because principles work when you have a heart that is seeking to do right. If you want to do right, principles work. If you don't want to do right, somebody's going to have to force you to do right, and those are rules. You've heard the statement, living above the law. Now, we've heard it in a bad way sometimes, where somebody, maybe that's in law enforcement, feels that they can live above the law and not obey the law themselves. Now, When I'm going to talk about living above the law tonight, and that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about misusing the rules and misusing the law because we are above the law. But what I'm going to challenge you to do tonight is to live above the law in this regard, where we let principles guide us so we don't have to have rules constantly telling us what to do or what not to do. If you have a heart that desires to do right, principles will work for you. But rules are necessary for a heart that's away from God. A rebellious heart requires rules. Teenagers, if you'll listen to this lesson tonight, this is going to help you. I want you to get to a point where you don't have to have so many rules. Wouldn't that be great? Not having so many rules. You're never going to get to a point, though, where there's no rules in life. Right? You heard about the guy that he graduated from high school and got sick of having to obey all the rules, so he joined the Marines because he's sick of people telling him what to do. Right? You never get to a point in your life where there's no rules. You graduate from high school and you said, yes, no more teachers, no more books, no more, how's it go, teachers, dirty looks, somewhere like that. You think, no more rules. Yes, I don't have to get up early anymore. I don't have to be responsible anymore. And then you go work somewhere and there's rules. Right? I saw it on my desk tonight. I printed up the guidelines, the book of standards for working at McDonald's. Even in McDonald's, there's these rules and these standards. They even have dating standards if you work at McDonald's. It was interesting. Realizing, okay, so I'm out of school now. And then there's the police, right? And they got rules. And then there's the government, there's these rules. A rebellious heart requires rules, but a heart that's seeking to do right, principles will guide you. Proverbs 29, verse 1, the Bible says this, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, that's a rebellious person, the Bible says, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs 26, verse 3, the Bible says, the whip for a horse, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass or the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. A rebellious heart requires someone to make the rules. A rebellious heart requires someone to monitor the rules. A rebellious heart requires someone to enforce the rules. A rebel will spend his entire life bumping against the rules of his authority and hurting from the penalties for breaking the rules. Like an animal in a fence, an electric fence, that doesn't like the fence. And the animal runs up against the fence and gets shocked, and runs up against another fence and gets shocked. That's the life of a rebel, always pushing against the rules and always bucking against the rules and always having to pay the price for pushing against the rules. If the rebel is a foolish person, the rules have to be enforced to minimize the negative impact on others, but nothing will help him if he's a fool. Proverbs 27, 22, the Bible says, though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle. Whoa! Picture this, okay? My dad has one of these. I use it in pharmacy. You've got this ball. It looks like, you know what it looks like? It looks like when you go to a Mexican restaurant and they put salsa in it. That's what that bowl looks like to me, right? So you got this stone bowl, and you've got this piece of stone that you use to grind, right? Used to grind something down to powder. That's the mortar. And the, do you say the T in pestle? Is it pestle? 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 I don't know what I said. All right. You've got this bowl, and you've got this stone used to grind things to powder. And the Bible says, though thou shouldest bray a fool, you crush him in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart him. No matter how much you crush a fool, his foolishness isn't going to leave. All right? Rules have to be enforced upon a fool, but nothing helps them. Rebels require rules. The Bible teaches us that God gave the law because of sin. In Galatians 3:19, the Bible says, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. Rebels require rules. God gave the law because of sin. Laws are made, the Bible says, for the lawless and disobedient. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. The law is made for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and for profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. The list goes on. for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. What is that list about? That is who the law is made for. Rebels require rules. But if you're yielded to God's Spirit, there's freedom in this. You aren't going to have to worry about keeping the law. Now, it doesn't mean you don't keep the law. It means you don't have to worry about keeping the law. Let me read this verse to you. It's Galatians 5:18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. What a freedom that comes with that. If you're led of the Spirit, doesn't mean that we don't keep the rules. It doesn't mean we don't try to please God. But if I am yielded to the working of God in my life, I'm guided by these principles. I'm guided by a desire to please God. I'm not worried about keeping the rule. It's not like there's all these rules. The rules are still there, but I'm not constantly bumping up against them because I'm living a life trying to please God. And when you live a life striving to please God, I don't want to sound wrong, but it's as if you're living above the law. The law doesn't have that daily impact. I'm not bumping into it every day. I'm not living above it like abusing the law, but I'm not having to worry about it because I'm really striving to please God. I'll give you some illustrations to help us understand it here in a little bit. Amazing freedom is available if you have a heart seeking to please God. If you really want to please God, you will have freedom. If you are constantly rebelling against the rules, you're not going to have freedom. Doesn't that seem backwards? A rebel rebels against the rules because they don't want rules. But if they don't want rules constantly on them, the way to get rid of the rules is to not push against the rules and to live according to a higher principle. You can have freedom at home if you seek to please God. You can have freedom at school if you seek to please God. You can have freedom in your city if you're striving to do right. Instead of breaking the laws and being arrested because you're breaking the laws, if you're striving to do right, then you have freedom. Okay? Let me illustrate that. If I hate rules, what should I do? So if I hate the rules, I hate people telling me what to do. So now I'm going to drive 95 miles an hour everywhere that I go. All right? I'm going to do all the bad things I can think of, right? Because I don't like people telling me what to do. So I get pulled over and I get arrested. Now I go to jail. Turns out I had a whole lot more rules before I started breaking the rules than I do now that I've broken the rules, because now I'm in jail and I've lost my freedom. Living by principles gives freedom. The man living by biblical principles can be trusted. We saw that in Joseph's life. The man living by biblical principles often gets the benefit of the doubt. The man living by biblical principles usually gets promoted in leadership over others because he's demonstrated that he has self-discipline. Robert E. Lee was talking about the generals that served under him during the Civil War. He said this: I cannot consent to place in control of others one who cannot control himself. But if I can control myself, I will find that I will be put in control of others. If you can control yourself, you're going to find yourself getting more responsibility. When you live by principles, you earn respect. When you live by principles, you're given access to other people's possessions because you're reliable, because you can be trusted. Joseph, he had access to all of Potiphar's possessions. Why? Because he could trust him. He lived by principles. You can be trusted because you not only obey the owner's instructions, but you also obey the Spirit of the instructions. It's not like you have to do this, 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 and this. So I'm thinking, okay, so the boss said I have to do this, 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 and this. I will do exactly this, 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 and this, and then I'm done. But if I can try to figure out, why does he want me to do this, 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 and this? Or maybe even ask him, why do we do this, 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 and this? And now I understand what makes the boss successful, and I'm trying to help him make him successful rather than just obeying the rules. And the boss sees that and he says, you are a person of self-discipline, and I get promoted. When you live by principles, you require less supervision and less accountability. You're tired of somebody looking over your shoulder all the time to make sure you do everything the right way? Well, instead of just pushing the rules every time, if you live by principles, instead of having to have rules tell you what to do all the time, you're going to have less supervision. You know, you might allow somebody to drive your car. You might find yourself in a position where you're the boss, or you're the manager, you're the supervisor, and maybe you own several vehicles for your business, and you're going to let somebody come in and drive your car. You're going to hire somebody that's going to drive your car. Maybe just your own personal vehicle. I've worked several jobs, many of you have as well, where you've worked a job, and while you were at the job, the boss said, here, take my car, go pick up something. And several times. In fact, most of the places where I've worked, the boss would at some point say, take my car and go pick up something. Would you do that? If you were the boss, would you let somebody take your car and go pick up something? Well, you'd say, well, it depends on who that person is. There are some people you would allow to drive your car. Those are the ones that you trust to do right without you watching them the entire time. If there's somebody that works for you, and he's the kind of person that you know, I've just got to keep an eye on him all the time because I can't quite trust him. I don't trust him I've always got to be on him. I've always got to make sure he's keeping the rules. He doesn't have my same values. He does things. Is that the person you're going to let drive your car? Probably not. Probably a person who you trust is going to be the one who you allow to drive your car. Now, there's some people who you'd not allow to drive your car, but you'd allow them to ride in your car, all right? So you don't trust them enough to say, here's the keys, take my car, run an errand, but you'd trust them in your car. You wouldn't trust them on your own, but as long as you're around, there shouldn't be any problems. You trust them in your car. There are some people who you wouldn't even allow in your car. Not only do you don't trust them to drive, but you don't trust them to get into your car because you've seen what they do. You've seen how they damage property. You've seen how they cause problems. You don't want them getting in your car and cutting your seats. You don't want them getting in your car and stealing stuff, right? Looking in the consoles to see what they can take. There's some people, I don't know if you know anybody. If you do, don't point at them right now. But there's some people that you'd say, I just take the bus, all right? You're not allowed in my car. They're so out of control that you can't trust them even in your presence. General Lee, again, he was talking about his General Stonewall Jackson. He said this, I have but to show him my design, and I know that if it can be done, it will be done. No need for me to send or to watch for him. Straight as the needle to the pole, he advances to the execution of my purpose. I don't have to watch him. I just tell him what needs to be done. He gets it done. I don't even have to go check on him. I just know he's going to get it done. Are you that kind of person? Are you the kind of person that's guided by principles enough that the boss can say, here's what needs to be done, get it done, just let me know when it's done? Or are you the kind of person that the boss says, here's the job, I want you to do this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and I'm going to watch you while you do it to make sure you accomplish it? There's no point in even having an employee if you have to take all the time to explain every single thing every single time and watch them the whole time. Now, at first you have to because you have to teach, but eventually they ought to be able to trust us to say, I can do this and I will do it the way you want it. Those who are governed by internal biblical principles enjoy increased responsibility and freedom. Are you seeing the difference? External rules are made for people that really, really for rebellious people. If I'm constantly pushing against authority and I'm constantly pushing against what other people are telling me to do, then I need rules. But if I am a person who the principles, specifically the principles of the Word of God, are part of my life, and I just decide, I'm going to be a hard worker because that's what the Bible teaches. I'm going to be honest because that's what the Bible teaches. I'm not going to take something that doesn't belong to me because that's what the Bible teaches. So if you are governed by these principles, there's freedom. Teens, let me talk to you for a minute. How many of you are between the ages of 12 and, let's say, 18? Between 12 and 18, raise your hand. Okay, if you're between the ages of 12, how many wish you were between the ages of 12 and 18? I don't wish that on anybody. I'm telling you. I was glad to get to about 20. I would have been happy to stay around there for a while. But 12 to 18, those were rough years. All right. If you're a teenager, let me ask you some questions. Would your parents trust you to borrow their car? All right. Some of us are like, oh, I don't know. I'm going to ask you some soul-searching types of questions, okay? Would your parents trust you to borrow their car? Let me ask you this. Would they trust you to drive the speed limit? Could your parents, okay, let's say you had your driver's license. Okay, say you were legal. Let's go with that. Let's pretend. This is going to be fun. We're pretending we have our driver's license right now. All right, and your parents, one of your parents, give you the keys. You know, the cool little, toss the keys, slow motion. got the keys, right? Your parents toss you the keys, and would they trust you to drive the speed limit? I mean, without them being in the car. Of course you got to drive the speed limit when mom and dad are in the car with you. But when they're not in the car, would they trust you to drive the speed limit? Well, let me ask you this. There's no teens over here. Looking back over here. I'm like a lion pacing back and forth, like a roaring lion. Now look, if they can't trust you to make your bed, why would they trust you to go the speed limit? Okay, this is a serious question. If they can't trust you to do your homework before you play video games, why would they trust you to drive the speed limit? So if you are constantly rebelling against authority, whether it's on purpose or not, you're not obeying the rules that have been set. Why would they trust you if you don't live by principles already? Why would they trust you? So, or would they need to put a governor on the engine? You know what a governor is? A governor is this thing that you put on the engine that keeps it going past a certain speed. I don't want my kids going past 45, so we're going to clock it in there 45, and you're going to be creeping down the highway, and old ladies are going to be passing you because I don't trust you to go, that you're going to not go faster than the speed limit. Let me ask you a question. Teens, would your parents trust you to not spin out in the parking lot? If they gave you the keys of the car and they said, you could take the car today, would they trust you without watching, without having video cameras installed all over the city? Would they trust you that you're not going to go out and spin off and ruin their tires? Here's the difference between people who spin out and people who don't spin out. People who spin out in their cars didn't buy their own tires, right? Those are daddy's tires on that car. Would they trust you? Or would they have to make sure that you're being supervised? Would your parents trust you to only go the places that you and they have agreed on? Or would they need to install a GPS tracker to watch your every move? I'm talking to teens, but I'm hoping everybody is getting this. Do we need rules to make sure that we're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing? Or do we live by principles? I'm not going to go to the places where mom and dad said not to go. Adults, there's an amazing freedom that happens whenever you got that car. You remember that? All of a sudden, you've got this car. This is the day before cell phones, right? Nobody knows where you are. What did we do? We couldn't call anybody between home and work. Nobody knows where you are. There's this freedom. You can go wherever you want, and there's some places you can go that are really bad places, and all of a sudden, you've got the freedom to do it. Are you going to go there? Just because I've got the freedom to go there, am I going to go there? Or are there some principles that guide me so that I don't have to have a rule or a GPS tracker? Teens, would your parents trust you to only have the people in the car that they've given you permission to be with? Or do they need to put a camera on the dashboard, you know, the dash cams, and turn it around so they can see everybody that's in the car all the time? Can they trust us? Can they trust us? Now, I'm using the teens as an example, but I hope you're understanding this. Can we live by principles, the Word of God, the principles we find in Scriptures, or do we have to have rules telling us every single thing that we have to do? Can your parents, I'm picking on the teens tonight, I just got a little bit more. Can your parents give you a $20 bill to pick up a few things from the store without checking the receipt and counting the change? All right, let's see it. Show me, spit it out. Let me see that receipt. All right, count the change. All right, you're honest. Or do you live by principles to the point where they, did you realize when you live by principles, you get freedom? There's not always somebody checking up on you. There's not always somebody counting the change. There's not always somebody asking for the receipt so they can check on you. Do your parents trust you to use the phone they provided you to only do the things that they approve of? Or do they need to install an app to track your texts and the websites you visit and the places you go, the people you call? Can they trust us? Now listen, in this society, I am all for accountability. I have accountability on my phone. We buy something. Every month, my family pays. We pay about $15 a month for something called Covenant Eyes to block things that aren't supposed to go on our phones, and it shows a record of every website we go to. I think it's wise. I think it's accountability. I have it on my phone. Just so you understand, that's a principle I've decided to go by. It's not that my wife said, okay, I'm tracking you everywhere you go. Although she's tracking, no. But let me ask you, do you live by principles enough so that you don't have to have somebody constantly tracking what you do? Do you need a whole bunch of rules to make you do right? Or do you live by principles that guide you to do right? There's some questions to ask ourselves. Principles bring freedom. If we will live by principles, we're going to have an enjoyable life of freedom without having to worry about all the rules. Yeah, those rules still exist, but I'm not worrying about them because I'm not trying to break them. Do you live by principles, or do you have the freedom? Do you have the freedom that come from principles, or are you living by these rules that bring bondage? Freedom flows to people who are constrained by biblical principles from the Bible. Freedom is the result of self-restraint, not self-indulgence. If my goal is pleasing me, I'm not going to have freedom. If my goal is pleasing God, I will have freedom. It seems so backwards because it seems like pleasing me is going to bring me all the freedom that I want to have, but really pleasing God, and I live by the principles that let me please Him, is going to bring freedom. Principles are more valuable than rules. Rules are servants to principles. Now, I'm not against rules. Rules have their place. We have rules in our family. Schools ought to have rules. Our city has rules. I'm not against rules, but rules are servants to principles. Sometimes rules are broken to obey a higher principle. Let me give you a couple examples. A policeman breaks the speed limit to catch a bad guy. The speed limit's the rule. He's breaking that rule. Catching the bad guy here is the principle. Let me give you some more examples. It's against the law to speed. But if your wife is going into labor, you get to the hospital as fast as you can. If you get pulled over, you hope you get an officer who doesn't just enforce the rules, but he understands principles. Maybe you'll get a police escort to the hospital. If the bank's on fire, the bank president won't mind if the firefighters ignore the rule that says, keep off the grass. There's a rule, keep off the grass. But if the principle of rescuing this building means that I'm obeying this principle instead of this rule, I'm going to obey the principle. Rules are there to serve the principle, not the other way around. A town gets hit with a hurricane. The store with a sign that says no shirt, no shoes, no service will be happy to let people who lost their shirt or shoes in the storm to come out of the storm if that store is a store guided by principles over rules. Jesus was constantly at odds with the Pharisees over their enforcing of rules and ignoring the larger principles. He healed on the Sabbath, and Jesus said it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath. I hope these illustrations are helping you understand this. Rules are servants to principles. Executives can make exceptions to the rules because they have authority and they understand the principles being served by the rules. Now, did you catch that? The principles are served by the rules. Let me read a news headline to you. This will illustrate this. News headline, Chick-fil-A opened on Sunday. Chick-fil-A's never open on Sunday. I like that principle. In fact, this is a guideline that they have. I said it was a principle. I get this is their standard that they have. They're not open on Sunday. Sometimes I've wished that they were open on Sundays. Then I thought back and I said, no, I'm glad they're not. But this one, Chick-fil-A, opens on Sunday. What in the world? They're breaking a rule to help with Hurricane Florence relief. Listen to this. Local Chick-fil-A owners, Donovan and Nikki Carless, were watching coverage of the storm and asked themselves, what can we do to help? The answer, naturally, as restaurant owners, was to give food to those in need. Donovan talked to his team, which was also eager to help out, and they worked with the Red Cross to hand out 500 sandwiches and 1,200 nuggets. He's the executive. He's the one that makes the decision, and as the executive, he understands the rules. He understands the principles involved. God isn't against rules, but He champions wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 4:7, the Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. It's the principal thing. God would rather that we understand and follow the spirit of the law to please Him than to simply obey the letter of the law. Now follow with me. Listen to this. Romans 2:29, the Bible says, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. See, God doesn't want us to ignore the rules, but He calls us to higher laws or principles. I want to bring that. That's the philosophy part of this. I'm going to bring this down. We're going to be done here in just a couple minutes, but I want to make this real to us. Let's bring this to real life. We're going to be, over the next several weeks, I'm going to be introducing principles. Most of these principles you're familiar with. I'm going to give you a little taste of them this evening, okay? And we're just going to go quickly. But I'm going to remember, Scripture leads to a principle, which leads to a conviction, which leads to a standard. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the Scripture, which leads to the principles. And if we will live by these principles, we're going to find amazing freedom instead of the bondage that comes by somebody telling us what to do and feel like we just have to keep the rules. Christianity is not about keeping rules. Christianity is about a relationship with the author of the scripture who gave us the principles to live by. Let me illustrate. We're almost done. If the modesty principle is embraced, we'll teach about the modesty principle. If the modesty principle is embraced, then there's no need for someone to tell us how many inches below at the knee a skirt should be, or how many fingers above the base of the throat a blouse should be, or how tight a guy's skinny jeans shouldn't be. All right? If we're living by a principle, this modesty principle, then we don't need to have a rule. Honoring the principle means staying away from the edges of immodesty. I want to please God by being modest. I'm not going to even go close. If the pleasing God principle is embraced, there are hundreds of detailed rules that are not needed, because if there's a reasonable chance that it displeases God, you're already walking away from it. You know how many rules that we could avoid if we just decided, I'm going to live to please God? I don't have to have hundreds of rules written out about all the things that I have to do or don't have to do to please God. I just have to have this principle that says, I want to live to please God. Now, rules are not wrong, but understand, rules are there to serve the principle. If your family lives by the kindness principle, it doesn't matter who started it or what's fair, because the only question that needs to be answered is, how do I respond kindly in the spirit of the Christian? I don't have to go into all the details of, okay, who started it, who really started it, all. I don't have to go through all that. The right response is, what's the right response? It's a kindness principle. If raising teens, we gave this statement this morning. It's in the Bible, I'm sure. It's in Hezekiah, I think. If raising teens is like nailing Jell-O to a tree, then making rules for music is even worse. Wow. Now we get into all this. Where's the beat supposed to be, and the syncopation, and all of these rules that come from music, and if we were to compare it to nailing Jell-O to a tree, this is going to be even harder than that. If we don't understand the principles of music, here's what's going to happen. We might either let just anything go, any kind of music, or we're going to try to make rules to address every possible aspect of music. But listen to this, music's a language. And it constantly changes depending on who's creating it. So the rules become obsolete. Illustration. If we say, I'll just say this. This is just kind of, here's the given, okay? If this was geometry, this would be the starting point. I believe that the rock rhythm is wrong. You don't have to agree with that, but this is what I believe. So if I was to come into church and say, because I believe the rock rhythm is wrong, no drums. And I make a rule. Now, that happens to be a rule here, but I want to show you that it's better to live by principles than just these rules, because it's not going to take long and someone's going to figure out how to strum a rock beat on the guitar. So I'm going to add another rule, and I'm going to say, okay, no guitars. And someone finds a way to play the rock beat on the piano. So we say, no pianos. And someone finds a way to stomp and clap the rock beat. You've been to the basketball games. Boom, boom, tsh, boom, boom, tsh. Wait, where does that go? Will rock you. That's what it is. Right? Okay, I'm not going into the whole thing about music, but here's the point. If I say no drums, we're going to, and it just keeps on going. I keep making these rules. And so now we're completely frustrated and we yell, no stomping, no clapping, no pianos, no guitars, no drums. And someone said, okay. Right? We used to call that bebopping. I never was any good at it. I never had any rhythm. For whatever reason, I'm not sure. Where there's a will, there's a way. So what do? We get frustrated. Just go home. Don't even be here if you can't obey the rules, right? Well, that's not what we want. There's got to be something better than just slapping a rule for every single thing. It's easier to make rules than to understand the principles of music. So sometimes we just do that. Now, sometimes rules are necessary, but better than rules would be a sincere heart that tries to truly understand the components of music that communicate sensuality or rebellion and guard against those things. We'll teach more about music at a different time. Almost done. There's security in rules. Rules, yeah, there's security. Rules require thinking or studying. Rules don't require discernment or prayer. You just obey them. Rules are simple to understand. They're quick to enforce. But our goal is not to develop a list of rules, but to understand the principles of Scripture. It's easier to make people obey rules than it is to teach them wisdom. Parents, you understand this? It's easier just to say, do this, don't do this, than it is to say, let me teach you why. Let me teach you what the Bible says. Let me teach you the reason behind the rules. It's just easier to make people obey rules than it is to teach them wisdom. We don't just want to teach rules. We want to train Christians so that they get understanding. Parents, let's teach our children why. Let's teach our teens why. That's principle. Rules are necessary until our children gain enough wisdom to live above the rules. Not in opposition to the rules, but above them. To do right, not because the rules say to do right, but because they're living by principles. Let me finish this all up with this. I believe rules can be a good thing. But let's don't make rules the easy way out. Let's learn principle. Let's learn what the Bible says. And let's learn how to apply what the Bible says to our life. Let's learn the principles. Let's develop some convictions. This is what I believe based on what the Bible says. And here are the standards that I'm going to make for my life. I make rules for my life here. I have a rule. I am not going to be in a car with a lady that I'm not married to unless it's somebody in my family. All right? I'm not going to do it. I've broken that rule on an occasion. And I called my wife and said, listen, I had somebody pick me up from the rental car. They sent a car to pick me up. And the driver was a woman. And I got in the car and I drove. And afterwards I thought, broke my own standard. Broke this rule. The reason for the rule is because there's some convictions that I believe. And I don't want to be like Joseph in the house or in a situation where I'm accused of doing something wrong. So there's a reason for the standard. The standards aren't the reason. The standards are there to serve the principles. Father, I pray that you would help us to learn this, help us to be able to apply it. Lord, I know it's a bit longer of a message tonight, and I thank you that you helped everybody to be able to listen and to keep their attention. Lord, I pray that you would raise up in this place a group of Christians that aren't just interested in keeping rules, but Christians who want to please you, who have a sincere desire to study your scriptures and learn your principles, develop convictions, and then build some personal standards in order to please you. Lord, help us to keep our priorities in the right order. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live in such a way that we can gain more responsibility and more freedom. Lord, I pray that you would help our young people to learn that freedom comes by obeying you. And the more they rebel, the less freedom they have. Lord, I pray that you would bless people. I pray that you would raise up in our families young people that have a desire to serve you and a desire to live for you. Young people that don't have to have rules around them like a cage to keep them in, but young people who live by principles and understand freedom that comes from living those principles. Lord, please work in our hearts. I pray that you would guide us. Please teach us these principles.